We'll read Acts 3, 19, 20, and 21, starting in verse 19. Repent ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come in the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heavens receive, the times of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. What does repent mean in verse 19? Turn away from sin. Repentance is not altogether preached too strong anymore these days, is it? That was the Lord Jesus. That was John the Baptist. And Paul says, repent and believe the gospel. There's repentance. What does the word metanoia mean? That's repentance. Meta is?
Noia is
mind from nous. Meta is a change of mind and life and so on. And is it enough simply to change our mind about sin? Is that all that God wants us to do? The life should follow. That's right. Now, and do we have to change the life before we can be saved?
No.
We trust in Christ. We believe on him. We receive him as our Savior. But then after we receive him, certainly the repentance of mind comes before we're saved, because we change our mind about sin. Otherwise, why do we need a Savior? If we think we're all right and we're saved and so on, we don't need to repent. But we change our mind about sin. But once we trust Christ and are saved, then our life should also follow that salvation. And so he says, repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. In the Old Testament, what did God do for sin? Remember? In the Old Testament, what are some of the expressions he uses for sin? What did he do? Sacrifice for sin? What else? His iniquity. And did he blot them out? He covered them. That's a kafar, to cover. They were covered. Now, he did say, as far as the east is from the west, he's removed our iniquities from us. But blotted out, see? John the Baptist, remember, we've memorized that. John 1:29b, remember that? And what does that say? Let's say it again. John 1:29b. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So he's taking it away, and here it's blotted out. It's different simply than removing or covering. He blots it out. He takes it away. Notice that when the times of refreshing come from the presence of the Lord. Times of refreshing, when will that take place, or when has that taken place? Pardon me? When the revival takes place, certainly times of refreshing. And that's what happens. Now, in the context of verse 20, what is the meaning of that times of refreshing? And he shall send Jesus. That's right, second coming. Yes, Charles, did you have another comment? Which one? Verse what? 19. Well, it's possible. Friends, they'll be converted. Sin will be brought up. We can put that in our memory banks and see what we're going to do. That's a possibility. I know when we come to chapter 4, verse 12, I want to put that in now. It is a gospel verse. Yeah, how about 3:19a? And then we'll get into the dispensation, you know, times of refreshing and comfort, and then send Jesus the second. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins be blotted out. Okay, I say that. Acts 3:19a. Repent ye therefore and repent, be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. All right, just 3:19. All right, we'll put that. I'm going to circle that with my red pen, so we'll be sure to have that 3:19b. That's a good one. That is a gospel verse. Now, from the context of verse 20, what does this refer to? Has the Lord Jesus already come once?
Yes.
So what does this must refer in verse 20? Second coming. How many phases of the second coming are there? How many phases of the second coming? Two, okay. Three? Or three? All right. What are the three? You have three?
Oh, no.
No? Well, anybody have a different?
First, the rapture.
The rapture comes first. That's the one phase.
100-year reign.
Immediately after the rapture? Or is there some period in between? What's that called? Tribulation, 7-year period. Then what comes, Laura? 1,000-year reign. Well, you said there were three phases. I just didn't know. Okay, so there are really two phases, right? The rapture, and where is that going to take place? Where is that going to take place? Well, is it the Mount of Olives, or is that when he comes back to earth? Where does this rapture take place? In the clouds. Who's going to be there? Every person in the world? Which people? Those that are saved, genuine, converted. That in Christ rises, then will rise alive and remain and be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 and 17. That's the picture. Yeah,
when you come with a little
kid, then come back and get my. Oh.
That's not something
to hear. Well, I may have.
using up there, and then see what it is. Then he said the big time here before, maybe it's back here in the country.
I never make a mistake, do I? Oh, it's not your phone. I'm glad you asked. There we are. All right. So, how many phases of the second coming are there?
Two.
What's the first? Rapture. What's the second? Wait a minute. Is that coming? Is that part of his coming? Is that part of his coming?
The rapture?
Well, the rapture, yes. What's the second? Mount of Olives, that's this coming to, where's that going to take place?
Jerusalem.
Hi, how's everybody? Good to see you. Nari and Adrian and Son and Mario. Yes, Anna? That's right, the Mount of Olives will be separated. In other words, Mount of Olives is to the east of Jerusalem. Jericho, where's Jerusalem? Where's Jerusalem? Here it is, Jerusalem. Okay. To the east is Bethany. Just to the east of the Mount of Olives is the Mount of Olives. The east is right here. I was listening to our comments, and you see, we went over to Palestine and Jerusalem. My wife and I, about 1981 or two or something like that, Mom sent us over. And noticed in my comments, the Mount of Olives is about 250 feet higher than Mount Zion in Jerusalem. 250 feet high. I didn't remember that, but that's what the guide told us. So in my comments, I mentioned that in our Bible reading comments. And so we could look out. We stayed on the Mount of Olives when we were there at the International Hotel. And we could look out and look down at the Mount of Olives, from the Mount of Olives to Jerusalem and the temple and so on. So his feet will touch the Mount of Olives, which is to the east. And the mount will split how? How? North and south. And therefore the east and west will be a valley where from the temple of Jerusalem will come fresh waters. The salt sea will be healed, and all this desert shall blossom as a rose. See, God has promised that's the second phase of his coming to the earth. See, the first is in the air. The second phase is to the earth. And on the Mount of Olives, that's true. Yes, Will.
Oh,
just one?
Oh,
that's terrible.
The news and growth.
Oh.
Well, geography is always up.
Well, that's true when you're at the foot of the Mount Zion. You have to climb up. That's true.
Even on Mount Everest, you're looking up.
Well, as far as the usage, but I mean, geographically, physically.
Well, you didn't say that.
Well, that's what I was talking about, see. You always go up, but in other words, the Mount of Olives is 250 feet higher than Mount Zion. See, so when we're on the Mount of Olives, we look and see it below us. That's what I mean.
Geographically.
But up as far as importance, up as far as that's concerned, that's right. No, that's all right. So, notice, he shall send Jesus, which before was preached unto you. What does he mean, before was preached? When was Jesus preached before, as Peter said? Was it? Now, or throughout the time, and it was preached when the Lord was on this earth, and the disciples preached on him, and the first chapter, second chapter of Acts, they preached the Lord and his word. And that's what we have to do even today, is preach Jesus Christ. He will send Jesus. And who's going to send him in verse 20? The Father will send the Son back to this earth to set up his millennial reign. Then in verse 21, it says, whom the heaven must receive until a certain time. Where is heaven?
Higher than Jerusalem.
So do we have to look down at heaven? For instance, no.
Yes.
It's up in the air. All right, it's at God's place of abode. It's where the Lord Jesus says to go to prepare a place for us, as we mentioned in John 14, in verse 1, 2, and 3. And so, heaven, and the heaven must receive. How long has the Lord Jesus been in heaven? Well, eternally. Why? Before he came to this earth, how long was he in heaven? From everlasting. He had no beginning. God the Son, perfect God, perfect man. God the Father had no beginning. God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But as he, what is it? Oh, Matthew, you all right? I had messages from the back of the room saying, take care of Matthew. Take care of Matthew. So I'm going to look at you, Matthew, all right? I'm sorry I neglected you. If I had been on my toes, I would have seen. I would have dealt with you, right? Okay, so I'm going to deal with you now with my eyes first, and then we'll go from there. So when he was here upon this earth, how long has it been in heaven since he left this earth? How long is it physically? The man, Christ Jesus. About 1900 and 2000, almost 2000. How did he get there? He ascended. And what body did he ascend in? Glorified body, was it? Resurrected body. And he ascended. Now, Can you and I ascend on our own? No. But one day in the rapture, those that are saved, born again, will be transformed and will be able to be caught up together with Him and to meet the Lord in the air. So the heavens must receive. Until, what's this until business? Yeah, spaceship, that's right, Matt. But the point is, we don't have a spaceship on us. Now, I know, and I used to read that fiction book, Buck Rogers, and you know, he had spaceships and different things, and you strap on something behind you and go up. But we don't have that, but the Lord's going to make it possible. Until, what is this restitution of all things? What do you think that means in verse 21? When will the restitution of all things take place? Second coming, I believe, and the Lord Jesus returns to this earth. When He will make things all right. And God spoke of it by His holy prophets in the Old Testament as well. The Old Testament had a picture of the glorious coming and of the millennial reign, and we talked about it in the book of Isaiah, when the deserts will blossom as a rose, different things will take place, and the wilderness will be pools of water. In that time, there will be a different topography and change in the climate, and everything else will go well. So this is the time. Till He returns, God has promised to make a restitution and things will be straightened out. All right, let's read verses 22, 3, and 4 together. Verse 22. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, says many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Is that what we have? 22, 3, yeah. Now Moses, what books did Moses write? The first five, that's right, Genesis through Deuteronomy, that's right. And Moses truly said, now, what book is this prophecy found in? A prophet shall the Lord raise up. Yes, Joe? Pardon me? Genesis? Well, not quite. Deuteronomy. Okay, we forgot numbers, but yeah, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is where this is found in chapter 18, verse 15. Now, Moses wrote, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up. Who is he speaking of? Who is this prophet going to be? The Lord Jesus Christ himself, isn't it? Notice Moses said, of your brethren, like unto me. In what sense was the Lord Jesus like unto Moses? Perfect man as well as perfect God. Yeah, Joe? Chosen by God. He was picked out by the Lord. That's just exactly right. And in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ became man, perfect man, because of the virgin birth. And if he had not been man, perfect man, could he have been like Moses, like his brethren? No, he had to be man. He had to be like us so he could understand, be a faithful and merciful high priest concerning the things of the Lord. And that's exactly what he was. So a prophet shall he raise up unto you of your brethren. Like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. Did the Israelites listen to the Lord in all things?
No,
they didn't. In fact, they did what? Crucified. Idolatry, they crucified him, they didn't accept him, they stopped their ears, they ran against him, they tried to stone him at one point, and finally ended up crucifying. But should they have listened to the prophet, the Lord Jesus? Yes. So he's a prophet. What else is the Lord Jesus except in addition to a prophet here in verse 22? What is he as well as that? What other title? It's a Savior. What else? The Jew. Yes. What else? Son of God. Some of these are other titles. What else?
Counselor.
Yes, Anna. Jehovah. What else? Mighty King, Mighty God, Son of Man also, that's right, Son of Man, Son of God, Prince of Peace, the Lion of the Tribe of Judah, Messiah, what is it? Lion of Judah, yeah, that's right, Emmanuel, Faithful, True, Wonderful, yes, Anna, Christ, Jesus, God, Light, Dayspring, Ricky, Way, Truth and Life, Anna, well, not exactly the Holy Spirit, but certainly the Lord. All right. Yes, at that time. A shepherd, a good shepherd. That's right. It's a shepherd.
Bread of life.
Morning star. Alpha and Omega. Emmanuel. We've had Emmanuel, but that's good to repeat. Well, but bread of life and what else? Bread of life, what? The Lamb of God. The water of life also. Yeah,
vine.
The vine, what is it? The shepherd and bishop of our souls. That's right. Shepherd and bishop of our souls. I wasn't asking for that, but I'm glad you gave it all to me. What I was asking for, when I said, what is he in addition to being a prophet? He's also a priest and a king. See, I was looking at the prophet and priest and said, that's fine. All these things are absolutely true. I didn't stop you while you're on a roll. Yes, Dr. Pappas.
Prince.
Friend, yes, he is a friend. He's a friend, amen. I call you friends. And he's a friend of the believers that are saved. And so it's good. So he was the prophet that they didn't listen to, and he should have listened. Now let me ask you this question. What is it? The Lamb of God. That's right, Matt. Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Now, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Sitkenu. That's right, absolutely. Many other titles the Lord has. In fact, I believe that I have a paper. Maybe I should put it on the book rack one of these days. Honey, how many was it? 136 titles for the Lord Jesus Christ? Something, a huge number, see? All of them, see? And I should put that out there and see if I can do that. Names for Christ, and so we can get them all together. But though the Jews, when the Lord Jesus was on earth, did not listen to what he says, should people today listen to what Jesus says? Yeah. But do they listen? Do all the saved, born-again Christians listen always? Not even saved people. What do you think about that? Times have not changed. What does the Lord think about that? Does he want us to listen to his word and to follow it? He certainly does. We've got stiff-necked people many times. And so, but it's a sad thing. We've got to, he that offeneth is reproved, says in Proverbs, and hardeneth his neck shall suddenly be cut off, and that without remedy. He that is often reproved. See, when the Lord reproves us from his word, and we harden our neck, God's going to judge us. Cut off, and not that we're going to lose our salvation, we're going to be judged repeatedly. And then in verse 23, what did God promise also about this prophet? They wouldn't listen to him. He destroyed. What about those who do not listen to the way, the truth, and the life, the Lord Jesus Christ? What is their destiny? Hell. What is involved in hell? Eternal torment, fire that never will go out. Condemnation, judgment. Do all people believe that? No. That's right, they don't. Liberals don't, moderate, and do some even so-called evangelicals or new evangelicals also deny literal hell? Yes, they do, I'm afraid to say. Now, I don't know about the fundamentalists. I would hope that they don't, but let me tell you this. There is a fundamentalist school, used to be more fundamental than it is now. I think it's probably new evangelical now, but used to be called Grand Rapids Baptist Bible College. Grand Rapids Baptist Bible College. Then they didn't like Bible, so just call it Grand Rapids Baptist College. Then they didn't like Baptists. So now they call it Cornerstone College. So this is, now in that school, before it switched to Cornerstone, while it's still Baptist, you know, Central, they had a teacher named, Fonnie?
Horn.
Professor Horn. If you want to blow your horn, this is Professor Horn. Now, Professor Horn wrote articles about heaven and hell. And as a professor, this is a school that was or sponsored and approved by the General Association of Regular Baptist Churches at the time. Here are articles in which he denied the literal heaven. He denied the literal hell. So about 16 or 20 pastors, I don't know how many, from the state of Michigan, this is Grand Rapids, Michigan, came and met with the president of that school and the professor and asked him questions about this thing. They were up in arms. Well, rather than to fire the fellow, as I would have done if I had been president of that seminary, he let him resign. And then he said, well, he's going on for further graduate work and maybe, who knows, he might come back here someday. Would you want a man to come back that doesn't even believe in literal heaven, literal hell? I would not. So you see, there are a lot of fundamental schools that are waffling on heaven and hell. It's a sad thing. But be destroyed from among the people. And then verse 24, and the prophets from Samuel, those that follow, have likewise foretold of these days. Did God limit the prediction of the future things to the New Testament? Did he limit to the New Testament the things of the future? No. Remember, even in Genesis 3:15, talked to the serpent. He said, what? What does he say? I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and hers. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, right there in the prophecy of the Lord Jesus crushing and bruising the head of the serpent, and the Lord Jesus came, and the Calvary, that was accomplished, wasn't it? Yes, Anna?
Will Egypt go by the donkey and the
serpent? That's right. Only two animals that spoke in the Bible, the donkey, Balaam's the donkey, and the serpent. That's absolutely right. Yes, Dr. Pappas, do you have a third one?
No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
No, that's all right, no problem.
Mm-hmm. And I've seen somebody from the field of East that this way they avoid the concept of the judgment.
Mm-hmm.
The idea of reform. Yes,
God of judgment.
And what we all witness, it might be a good thing to keep in mind.
Yes, well, keep in mind. Yes, Ms. Travis.
Well, last week I was speaking to someone, and she said she didn't believe in heaven and hell. Mm-hmm. She said, but
if there's such thing as an outline, I have never said it.
Oh, boy. Now, tell me, Mrs. Baptist, is she going to get there?
No.
Has she ever sinned?
They're
all sinners. Can anybody say we've never sinned?
No.
No.
And I didn't remember it until I came home, which I shouldn't have said, well, then you must be God.
It must be God, that's right. Mm-hmm. He's the only one. The Lord Jesus is the only one. They're perfect, absolutely holy. And does God want us to sin?
No.
No, he does not. Even after we're saved, definitely not. He wants us to be washed righteously. Yes, Anna? There's actually three persons that could did not sin. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That's true. So they're not just the one. But on earth, there was a physically perfect God, perfect man, the Lord Jesus. All right. So they don't want to take away the things of the eternity and of hell and things that are likewise foretold. They don't want to take that because it would mean that they could themselves might not be saved. Now, we're in verse 24. The prophets and Samuel, all these things were prophesied. Let's read now verse 25 and 26 together. Ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God, having raised up his Son Jesus, sent him to bless you, and turning away every one of you from his iniquities. All right, then, verse 25. What does it mean, the children of the prophets? Who was Peter preaching to again in this chapter 3? Where was he when he preached this?
Chapter 3. In the temple.
In the temple. In verse 1, Peter driving up to the temple. A certain lame man came, and Peter healed him. And in verse 12, he began the preaching. Ye men of Israel. See? Why do you wonder why this man is raised up from being lame? So the children of the prophets were the Israelites, right? And the covenants. The covenant which God made with our fathers. What covenant is this called? Well, the law is one of the covenants, the Mosaic covenant. What did he make with Abraham? Before the law. 430 years before the law. What was that called? Was it? Was it? Well, the new covenant now is in the future, when he made with Israel and the Lord Jesus when he comes back. The new covenant, like the New Testament.
Abrahamic
covenant, made with Abraham, and this is the covenant that he made. Now, there are covenants that are unilateral and covenants that are not unilateral. In other words, this was a unilateral covenant that Abraham was God made with Abraham. One is conditional, some are unconditional. This is an unconditional covenant. What do we mean by an unconditional covenant? Can't be broken, can't be changed. And actually, we have nothing to do with it. You remember when the Old Testament made covenant? Covenant means berith. It's a word, it's Hebrew word, berith. And berith, berah means to, berith means to cut, a cutting. And so when they ratified the covenant, they cut an animal in two, parted the pieces, and both of the people that made the covenant walked between them. See, that was the way that they made the covenant and made it stick. And so blood was offered. So now, in the case of the Abrahamic covenant, the animal was put apart, and then God put Abraham to sleep. And Abraham, God himself, in the spirit or whatever, walked between the pieces. Abraham was sleeping. Had nothing to do with it. It's an unconditional, unilateral covenant. Yes,
where is that?
That's in Genesis. I don't remember the chapter of Abraham's covenant. Probably chapter 13, 14, 15, along in there, when they made the covenant, to cut the covenant, that's what it is. So Abraham covenant, now the Mosaic covenant on the other hand, it's a conditional covenant. If you keep the law of Moses, then I will bless you. The Palestinian covenant, if you keep the law, then you can inherit the land, you keep the land, you'll be in the land, you won't be taken out. But not so with this Abrahamic covenant. So the children of the covenant got made. Now notice what he says in verse 25. What does that refer to? In thy seed. Who's the seed? The Lord Jesus Christ. You remember in Galatians chapter 3, Paul says, he didn't say unto thy seeds, but unto thy seed. Not thy seeds which are many, but unto thy seed which is Christ. Isn't that interesting how God, with singulars and plurals, he means business. Our King James Bible is accurate, and many of these new versions of perversions are not accurate. They change quarrels to singulars, singulars to plurals. And so, in thy seed, now how can all the tenders of the earth be blessed in the seed of Abraham? How is that possible? What is it? Through the Lord Jesus Christ, through salvation, through faith in Him, they can be blessed. Now, does God want everybody in the world to be blessed in this? Does He wish, want? Yes, He wants everyone. Not willing that any should perish. Then why do they stop receiving His blessing? Why do they not want it?
Well, the devil is interfering.
Right? The devil is interfering. As it says in 2 Corinthians 4, he's blind to the minds of them that believe not. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, whose name is of God, should shine unto them. He's blinded the minds.
He's given us a choice.
He's given us a choice. We memorize the verses. He that hath the Son, let's say that, hath life. And he that hath not the Son, hath not life. And we've measured that and memorized that in 3:18 of John and 3:36. And so, it's unfortunate. Then in verse, but the Lord is wanting to bless those people and take them to heaven if they're just trusting and receiving. That's our ministry, to go into all the world and preach the gospel in the future. And then in verse 26, what does he mean, and unto you first? What's he, who's he talking about there? What's this business? Unto you first. The Jewish people. Yeah, this is why in Romans 1:16, let's say that together, Romans 1:16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And remember, where did the Lord Jesus go when he first ministered in Matthew, say, 1-10? To Israel, his own people. What was his reception? Not very good, they rejected him. And so, in chapter 11 of Matthew, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He turned, and Paul, he tried to preach to the Jews, then I turned to the Gentiles, you see. So they refused, they rejected. But this first, why did God give Israel the first chance, you think? Pardon? They were the chosen ones, they were the ones that got the... What?
Save first.
What nationality was the Lord Jesus Christ? He's Jewish. He was Jew and he came to his people. Let's say John 1:10 and 11 and 12. He was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. And the next verse, he came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, they then gave him the power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on his name. They that believe on his name. He came as though his own received him. So they were blind out. Does that mean all Jews have rejected Christ? Was it true? Some have. Was it true in Paul's day that all Jews rejected Christ? What was Paul's answer? He was a Jew himself. What was Peter? What was Matthew? Mark? Luke? I think Luke was. Some people say just Greek or something. I think Luke was. There's a Jew. There's a man who's written a book on that, on the prophets that God spoke, and his name? McCubbins, yeah, Mike McCubbins, and he gave some very good proofs of why all the writers of the Bible, not only everyone except Luke, but all were Jews, and so he's convinced me, I believe it, but he came into his own people, and since his own people rejected him, then what plan has God given now to this earth?
Gospel
to the Gentiles and to the whole world and everyone. The gospel has gone far and wide, and Romans 9, 10, and 11 talks about the Jews, doesn't it? Romans 9 is the Jewish of the past, 10 is the present, and 11 is the future. And it says that God has blinded them in part, that the Gentiles may be grafted in. So that's the picture. God is saying a wild olive tree, and Israel was the root, and they didn't want to reject. So he grafted some of us in, and we're saved and believed. But he said, be careful. Don't boast out against the Jews. If he took them away, he could take you away. So you better be very thankful that God is in his grace.
Do not be high-minded yourself.
Yeah, do not be high-minded.
High-minded.
That's right, do not be high-minded, because he could take you out of that tree too. So God has been able to... Now, the gospel should go to the Jews as well as the Greeks, to the Israelites as well as the heathen of all nations. And let me ask you this. Should you treat or must you treat a Jew that is lost as you're telling the gospel any differently than you do with a Gentile that's lost with the gospel?
Yeah.
See, do some people disagree with you? Some people disagree with you on that? Some people say we got to do this and this to Jews, but then the other got to treat them. I suppose you can talk about the Old Testament, but did the Jews, many of them, in fact, if not most of them, do they really believe that the inspiration of the Old Testament, inherits the Old Testament? Do you really believe? Charles? Many of them don't believe in the Bible, do they? I mean, there's three kinds of Jews: the Reformed, the Conservative, and the Orthodox. And the Reformed, they don't believe the Bible is true, and the Conservative sort of half and half. And the Reformed, or excuse me, the Orthodox do hold the Scriptures are of God's Word. That's Charles, that's right. Yes. And if those, if the Jews do believe the Old Testament, then you can relate to that. But if they don't believe the Old Testament, you might as well start just like a Gentile that doesn't believe anything either. I realize I have to be tactful, and I don't mean to be untactful and talk, but you can start with that, and if you start speaking to a Jewish person, speak about Genesis and so on, and they say to you, I don't believe that book, well then you start with something else. Yeah, that's right.
I just want to say, many Jewish people I've talked to, I ask them, what is their view of end time, the end of the world? Many will say, I don't know. Ask a rabbi.
Mm-hmm. Ask a rabbi.
I mean, what should their view be based on the Old Testament? Let's say if they only believe that.
Now, the Old Testament view of the end of the world, well, in Malachi, the last chapter of Malachi, in the end time, God is going to send Elijah, and he will prepare the way of the Lord. See, and they should see, that means the Lord Jesus. That's John the Baptist came, preparing the way of the Lord, scripture fulfilled. And in Isaiah, the government shall be upon his shoulder. I mean, Isaiah 9:6, the beautiful Messiah that is sung all over the liberal churches and secular churches and everything else. And they should see that Isaiah talked about a Messiah, a Savior, who would have a government on his shoulder that would rule and reign in this earth. So that's the Old Testament picture of the future. Yes, son.
So the Elijah is referring to Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I think so, yes. Because, let's take a look, there's a deeper place here, but Malachi, the last chapter, the last book of the Old Testament, let's read it, in verse 5 and 6, Malachi 4, verse 5 and 6, just before Matthew, the book before Matthew, behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And so Elijah is to prepare the way. And as it says, you know, John the Baptist was Elijah if they would have received him, but they didn't. Yes, son?
Yeah, I read the article. Some people believe that actually Elijah is living.
Living today.
Right, yes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because of their guy, these people say he is the Elijah.
Oh.
He came back.
Is that right?
Yes. So actually, that, remember last year I sent you that website.
Uh-huh.
The lady has a website. Her name is a big prayer website. Anyway,
yeah.
All about it.
What's the name of it?
No, we read the article together.
Uh-huh.
CFR.
CFR?
Yes.
Oh, huh.
But it's in her website.
She's the one that believes that Elijah.
Oh, no, she doesn't believe it.
But she exposed it.
Right.
She
exposed it. It's ridiculous.
Yes, it is ridiculous. Yes. Yes. Well, that's why the Lord Jesus said, don't believe that here's Christ or there's Christ. Believe them not. And so here's the Elijah raised up from the dead. You remember, who was it that thought Elijah was raised from the dead in the Lord's time. Was it? Well, John the Baptist was raised. Not Elijah, but who wrote that? Who thought? Oh yeah, that was in the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter thought we should do that. Elijah was there, wasn't he? He was there certainly. But they thought that Herod thought that Jesus or that John the Baptist, excuse me, that Jesus was John the Baptist raised up again. So it was like Elijah. He wasn't like Elijah, but he would have been Elijah if they received it. So it wasn't exactly the same, but that's wrong, isn't it? And so we've got to be very careful, these false prophets. Yes, son?
I was a question. Are those Messianic Jews, do you consider them as Christian?
Messianic Jews are Christian. Well, if they're saved and born again, they would be Christians. But the thing about it is,
they practice
the law of Moses. See, I don't think they're living in proper obedience to the Word of God, because Galatians is very clear. The law of Moses is done. Now we have the age of grace, and we're to live for the Lord and create a great. So we don't have any longer the Old Testament sacrifice, the Passover and the Day of Unleavened Bread, and all these little feast days that they do still represent. In fact, some of them go ahead and have the, what do you call the Passover, the one before that? What is that feast?
Seder,
yeah, the Seder, yeah, that thing. And so some of them observe those things. I don't know. And also they feel that the Gentiles are no good. If you're not a Messianic Jew, seemingly they look down upon us, and they don't like to have us in the same church. They don't want to be in our church, or they want to have separate churches. I don't agree with that. I think that all of us, if we're saved, born again, regenerated, and I use the 1 Corinthians 10:31, where it says, give not offense, neither the Jews, nor the Gentiles, nor the church of God. I think it's 1 Corinthians 10:31, 32. You're not necessarily either Jew or Gentile, you're a member of the church, in other words, you're saved. You're born again. So when you're born again, you're no longer a Jew. You're no longer a Gentile. You're a Christian. So I don't get it. But they don't like me for saying that. The Jews that are saved in the Messianic system are dead set against amalgamating and bringing them into the regular church. They want to be by themselves and continue to worship the law.
I'm not Messianic Jews. They think that it's more holier to follow the old Messianic ways. They're keeping closer to the traditions that Jesus would have kept when he was on earth.
So that's what they say.
Yeah, I don't really see, like Paul talks about, like it's more like a form of will worship than the worship of the Lord.
Yes, or will worship, that's right. And works rather than faith and grace. Do you have any?
Well, I was going to say something else, but I think that when Jesus was on earth, he probably did keep the law. I'm not sure.
Well, he tried to keep
the Sabbath a little bit.
Yes, well.
But after he died,
but the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath.
The law was in the most
Jesus
Christ.
Yeah. And then?
You can't say that he broke the law.
No, he didn't break the law.
I think it's right through.
No, he shouldn't. They accused him of breaking the law, didn't they, Dan? That's what my meant. They accused him of breaking the law. Here's a man that heals on the Sabbath, and he said, well, doesn't a man, when his animal falls in the ditch, restore him on the Sabbath day? Here's this man that's been sick and thrown, if I raise him up, see, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. See, so, yes.
He did that when he walked through the field and everybody was hungry and they grabbed corn and he ate it and he said,
yes. Now, the Sabbath, that's right. See, he didn't, now, the thing about the Lord Jesus, he said, ye have made the law of God of none effect by your tradition. They've added to it. See, how many laws extra? 635? I don't know. Extra laws that the Jews have that have added up to against, and plus the scriptures that are there in the scripture. Clearly. Have I?
There's some
receipts
that have come from that. You
never heard
that.
Yes. What is the total number?
620. Many of the laws that the Jews have.
Yes. We're listening to a health program on the radio coming down. It's talking about pomegranate seeds, 613. Someone said, oh, that's the same number of commandments that the Jews have. 613 seeds in a pomegranate. So, it's a little bit crazy, but that's yes. Now, the question is, do we have to keep 613 laws in order to be saved?
No.
We have to keep 1,500. Thank you, man. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Yvonne?
So, talking about Elijah and Revelation, the prophets that are going to be killed, don't some people think one of them is Elijah that came back?
Yes, your husband thinks it's Elijah.
I don't know.
Some think it's someone else, but in other words, the two that will be raised up.
Read
no, we didn't say anything about them. Matt, did we say everyone cheers out of the room? Do you remember? You do remember?
Okay.
Now, the two prophets that were prophesied during the tribulation period had certain miracles, and causing not to rain, talk, which was one of the miracles of Elijah, and water turning to blood was one of the miracles of Moses. And so many feel, because of the miracles that are destined, that there'd be Moses and Elijah. Now some feel, and they can have their view on that, may not fight with them, but they believe that the two people that did not die natural deaths would be there, see, which would be Enoch and Elijah, see. But anyway, yes, Matt, you had your... Yes, sir.
How much longer?
4 minutes. That's the best question yet today. Four more minutes, or until you hear that tape click. The animal will tell you, when that tape recorder clicks, you're good. And that will click in 4 more minutes. Modern technology, see, and then once it clicks, we have to close because we've told you there's going to be an hour service, 1:30 to 2:30. We don't start at 1:30, start at 1:32, 1:33, 2:33, 2:34, whatever. See, so we have exactly an hour. I got my watch right up here, so we're all set. So now notice the last part of verse 26. He's going to say, it says, God first to the Jew raised up his son, Jesus. Two questions. How did he raise him? And what way is he his son? How did he raise him?
He was born the virgin birth.
What is it?
Born the virgin birth.
The virgin birth, well, that's true. He was born the virgin birth. But how did he, who raised him, and how did he raise him? Who raised him? God the Father? How did he raise him? Bodily resurrection. Do some people teach otherwise? Do some people teach otherwise? Instead of bodily resurrection. What are the liberals, the moderates? Some don't even believe he died at all. Just swoon. And the cold recesses of the tomb revived him, see. That's the liberal teaching. And that's false, but what do the liberals say also? Spiritual resurrection. Just the spirit race, see, but not his body. And so they talk about on Easter, we said it many times before, the risen Christ. The risen Christ. By which they mean just his spirit, that's it. But not his body. His body's still dead. They don't believe in the bodily resurrection. But he raised his son Jesus, bodily raised him. In what way do we mean his son? What does it mean, his son?
Only begotten.
The only begotten, all right. How?
Created.
Not created. Now, when did this son, not this son back there, but when did this son here, S-O-N, begin? Was he right? So that's the issue that split for a long time, John MacArthur and the rest of us. He says he's changed his view, but he originally he said he doubts and denies the eternal sonship of Christ. We believe he's always eternally the Son. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. See, if you deny the eternal sonship, then you don't have the eternal fatherhood, because how can the father without a son? He's not a father yet. So, yes, Matt, what do you think?
I counted the four, it did not click.
Oh, you counted the four, it did not click. Now, counting the four is not 4 minutes. So now we have exactly 1 minute, 1 minute or less, it'll click, see. So you have to count, what is it, how much, son? 240 you have to count, see. Now, right now we're down to about less than a minute, see. But we just wait for the click. I'm sure Adrian is waiting.
Now, where were you?
Now, the Son was eternally the Son. So this is important. Who raised his Son, sent to bless you. How is, in verse 27, how did the Lord the Father send him to bless? In what way should he send him to bless? In that verse 26. Where is the blessing in verse 26? But he was saying, yes, but what is verse 26? What is it? What is it? Turning us away from our sins and our iniquities. That's the blessing. That's what God wants. Turning away. That very verse that we're going to memorize, repent and be converted. Turning away from our sins. That's what repentance is. Repentance and turning away. Praise God. Do you have any comments or questions before I click? Yes, Tammy.
The verse that you said.
talks about in Revelation.
Revelation 11:6. Can I read that? The miracles?
We have power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy.
That's Elijah.
We have power over the waters to turn them to blood, and to smite the earth with all plagues as often as they will.
That's what God did through Moses. So that's why many feel it's Moses and Elijah, but others feel it's other stuff. Any other comments or questions before we go? Yes? What? Well, it hasn't clicked yet, so you didn't hear it.